morning. I'm Sarah Lynn Keller, the Director of Spiritual Vitality and Congregational Care, and I welcome you this morning to the First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of God who claims us and reclaims us, the God who seeks us in our lostness, and who offers us each extravagant welcome as we return home. By our worship, may we all experience the sense of home and go into the world to help others know it as well. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us this morning via our virtual worship on our live stream. We are so glad to have you with us this morning. Though we worship in our separate places, we are joined as one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements this morning. I'd like to thank our worship leaders and musicians, and especially welcome Jessica McArdle with us. The Reverend Dr. Jessica McArdle comes to us from the Southern New England Conference of the UCC Environmental Ministries team. That is quite a mouthful. And chairs the Decarbonization Task Force for her local church, FCC of Winchester. Along with her husband, Barry, they also co-chair FCCW's Environmental Justice. Having served in parish ministry, in settled and interim capacities, and as chaplain in clinical and residential settings, Jessica's focus is now directed to helping churches and congregations engage more actively as stewards of God's creation. A researcher and a writer, she posts at the Spiritual Activists blog. Originally from Southern California, Jessica and Barry have three grown children, two of whom are married, and they also have one grandchild, Alina, whom they are pleased to visit just this past January and spent quite some time with Alina. So, Lane, can you advance the slide? Thank you, that's awesome. So following the announcements, we invite you to have a candle available to light as your worship, as we light our Christ candle here in the sanctuary, and also to gather what you might need to be ready for Holy Communion. So whatever will serve for you as bread and wine, because even an English muffin can be the bread of Christ. And for those of you who are in the service, hopefully you got your communion kit. If you didn't, you can raise your hand and one of the ushers will provide that for you. We want to let you know that we will accept prayer requests this morning up until the end of the sermon, and so we invite you to send those prayers to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, or here in the sanctuary, you can fill out one of the cards that is in the pew there for you. And we'd be happy to include those in our morning prayer this morning. Following our worship today, we will have our post-worship fellowship. We are continuing to experiment in a hybrid fashion, so those of you here in person can join us in the vestry for coffee hour. For those of you still at home, we will have a virtual gathering via Zoom, and hopefully those of you who are here can just kind of swing by and join that Zoom gathering. There will be a computer set up in the classroom down in that corner of the church on level one, just off the vestry. You can come in and say hello to everyone on the screen and then go back to coffee hour. We are experimenting. We would love to hear feedback about how that's working for people at home and for people here in our coffee hour as well. I invite you to explore the prayer stations that are located around the edge of the sanctuary this morning. They will be there throughout Lent. These are they are following our Lenten journey. Justice, it's a Jesus thing. It follows the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, where he says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was poor, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. We have come to realize that people who are described in these verses are in these groups are particularly impacted by climate change. And so some of the reflections at the prayer stations will ask you to consider how you might be called to respond to the environmental crisis in our world, especially as Jesus calls us to a radical compassion and mercy and welcome to the least of these. So we invite you to do that after church, or the next time you're here before church, come and explore these prayer stations at your leisure. You're also invited to join us for our soul sabbatical. It started last Sunday, but we can certainly welcome some more people into our group if you are interested. You can get materials through the office. I think we have one more printed copy available right now, but we can certainly get you a PDF of the file, and you can have that at home on your computer. We are studying this Matthew 25 along with some other resources from the conference, and looking at the environmental crisis, climate change, and the words of Jesus. So I invite you to enter into worship. People of God, we serve the Lord of light, the one who told us that we too are the light of the world, and who called us to let our love light shine forth brightly. No sin or brokenness can take from us this identity as God's children of light, or this holy, luminous vocation. May this candle lighting represent our acceptance of this identity and our intention to respond with light-filled purpose. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. We may be entering this season arid, dry from pain and injustices. We may be wandering, feeling as if we have no direction. We may be fearful, wondering what comes next. We may begin our Lenten journey spiritually arid, aimless, and anxious.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Divine Sojourner, as we saunter far into the wilderness, may your light sustain us. May the questions that fill our minds with doubt drift away into the sands of the journey. May we dig within our souls to remove the prejudices deep within us. However we wander in this season, may your holy glow refocus our attention on our relationship with you and the ways we connect with our siblings. Amen. Friends, too often our hearts are cold and without gratitude. Too often our hands are passive and unwilling to carry out acts of mercy. Too often our lips are pursed tightly, unwilling to speak words of love. Too often we are indeed separated and alienated from our better self, separated and alienated from God. Let us confess our separation and alienation. Let us join together in the prayer of confession. O God, we confess that we are reluctant to move into this Lenten journey to Jerusalem. The past appears pleasant in comparison with the unknown future. We meet pressing human need with fear and pain and inaction. In a chorus with worshipers everywhere, we say, we have fallen short. We live in a state of brokenness and alienation. We have sinned. O God, our sustainer and redeemer, help us to discover the gifts of power, talent, and energy which you give us, that we might bring healing into a broken world. Forgive our sin, strengthen our resolve, and renew us in your ever vibrant spirit. Amen. So friends, God says to us, you are my chosen ones. I love you. I am proud of you. Stand firm in your new commitment. Know that I have forgiven you. I call your name. You are mine. I have entered into a covenant with you and will stand by you in all times and all places. Dare to live fully the life to which I have called you. Amen.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. In the name of Christ, the exemplar and author of our faith, grace and peace be with you this first Sunday of Lent. And just as Jesus' sojourn and passage into the wilderness follows a 40-day passage of the Lenten season, we as his followers are also beckoned to move into the terrain, not unlike uncharted territory. Yet God's supreme grace assures us that Christ has walked this way before. With the assault upon Ukraine continuing, and other United Nations fearing the encroachment of Russian armed forces, along with this dire assessment concerning the fate of our planet, still Jesus says to each of us, peace be with you. My peace I give you, but I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and neither do not let them be afraid. In the safety of this hallowed space, let us now extend the peace of Christ to one another, be it through touching elbows, offering a handshake, or with hands placed over our heart. Let us offer the peace of Christ. As we offer ourselves and our substance, we remember the words from the New Testament that exhorts us, saying, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Whether it be through donations, through home, if you are watching with us virtually, or through offerings received, we will now receive this morning's gifts. Source of all gifts, we share our gratitude for all our fruits, from our possessions to knowledge, and from our time to abilities. May our best be something that we do not hoard, but that we give freely away. As we embrace this season of fasting and reflection, may we recognize the best in our talents, treasures, and time to share with God and neighbor. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. And here ends the reading for today.
Thank you for that excellent reading. As attested from today's gospel reading and on this first Sunday of Lent, when we find ourselves in uncharted territory, a sense of dislocation and even futility can take hold within. Yet God's supreme grace assures us that Christ has walked this way before. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Has there ever been a time when you have felt completely out of your element? Has there ever been a time in your life when you have felt as if you are in uncharted territory? Only a few years ago, the Portland Public Radio spoke of a remarkable phenomenon: the existence of a completely unexplored area only 60 miles out of Portland, Oregon. The area was first discovered in 2010 by a national park employee. But given how hazardous the terrain is, it wasn't until several years later that it was explored. It's called Valhalla Canyon, and it is a remote wilderness. The valley itself consists of a deep, dangerous crevasse bordered by high, sheer mountains on either side. It is said that rock avalanches aren't uncommon there. More so, as the explorers discovered, once you're inside the canyon, as difficult as the passage may be, there is no way out other than going directly through that passage. Yet for those who ventured into this uncharted territory, it proved to be an experience they would carry with them for the rest of their lives. The wilderness that Jesus ventured into for some 40 days and 40 nights was never, however, intended as exploring miles upon miles of uninhabitable landscape. He didn't go to survey the terrain. He did not go as an ancient Near East cartographer. He did not go to get away from it all. Instead, and having been baptized, just baptized with all the people, Jesus chose to take yet another plunge. Fresh from the experience of his baptism, Jesus was driven into the wilderness for 40 days. Writes Martin Smith, Jesus' experience in those weeks of isolation and deprivation in the wilderness was pierced by brief, inexplicable flashes where he was told he was put to test by the avenger, Satan. And there are three snatches of dialogue with the avenger that hinge on the matter of leadership and power. Three times Satan challenges Jesus, and three times Jesus responds. According to the gospel account, after Satan challenged Jesus with changing stones into bread, Jesus was famished, and then showing him all the kingdoms of the world, thereby offering easy access to a fanatical kind of power. The avenger then took Jesus to Jerusalem, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "You know, if you really are the Son of God, if you really are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he has given his angels instruction concerning you to take care of you, and they will bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Before, Jesus had been refuting Satan through Scripture. But this time the avenger throws the Scripture back at him. In the face of the third and final temptation, the answer Jesus gave is puzzling when you think about it. Using Scripture, Jesus replied, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." About Jesus' temptation in uncharted territory, the author Harvey Cox suggests that following his baptism and after being driven into the wilderness, Jesus was confronted with the central question: what kind of leader would he be? What kind of leader would he be? But just behind that question, there was a secondary one that Jesus faced. And Howard Thurman suggests it was this secondary question that posed one of the greatest threats to Jesus' leadership and ministry. And it was this: Would he, Jesus, the Son of God, be exempt from natural law? Would he, being divine as well as human, be exempt from the same cause and effect that impacts the rest of us? You know, when I've taught confirmation classes and even adult education classes, a not uncommon perception is that because this is Jesus we're talking about, he'll find a way out of the dilemma. He's got pull. He's got connections. He's got one big hot line to heaven. In other words, Jesus may get into a fix, but God, being God, will bail him out. But that's not how the gospel records this. In the Garden of Gethsemane, And knowing full well that his betrayal and death was imminent, it is written that Jesus plunged into a kind of agonizing sorrow, and pleading with three of his close disciples to keep vigil with him, he went off a little ways. And then he fell on his face praying, "Oh, my Father, if there is any way out of this, then get me out." But then moments later, he continues saying, "But not what I want, Father, but what you want." And we all know the outcome that night, don't we? Jesus wasn't rescued. Now, we can rationalize that because Jesus overcame death through the power of resurrection, that his passion and death must not have been terrifying and as awful as it would have been for others. But the gospel speaks otherwise. Over the years in ministry, I've come to appreciate what can happen to good folk, good men and women that who, by all accounts, have been faithful and have it all together, but that in the face of insurmountable circumstances, they despair. And it isn't just loneliness or isolation, which is bad enough, but I'd suggest it's a kind of displacement, as if being completely out of one's element, as if they find themselves suddenly in uncharted territory. So we may ask, where is God when I find myself in uncharted territory? Where is God when I can't find my way out for anything? At a church I served early in my ministry, there was a longtime parishioner who had lost much. I'll call him John. His wife of many years had died just before I arrived, and sometime before, their only child, their 13-year-old daughter, was killed in a hit-and-run accident. And with months after their daughter's sudden death, he and his wife were contemplating divorce. So tormented were they by her death. And it was once during a group Bible study when we all gathered in a circle, and after John had shared what had happened, I asked him how it was that he and his wife managed to remain married. How was it that they even found new happiness together? And then he paused, and he said, "You know, it wasn't until after his daughter's death that he discovered what the word temptation really meant." And I was surprised. I said, "Well, given the magnitude of your grief, what role could have temptation possibly have played?" He said, "Oh, but I was tempted. It was a time of intense testing. I was tempted to despair. I was tempted to blame my wife for not protecting my child, even though I knew it wasn't her fault. I was tempted to continue to bitterly hate the driver who had struck our daughter, and to let the bitterness devour me until there was nothing left of me at all." But it was somehow in the midst of this that John discovered that he was not alone. He was not alone in the darkness. He was not alone in his anger. He was not abandoned in his grief. He was not cast aside in the depths of his vexing temptation. He came to realize that Jesus had been there all along, been there with him in that uncharted territory. In the depth of that wilderness, in the isolation, the agony, the pain of inexplicable loss, God's grace assured him that Jesus had walked that way before. In the unexplored west coast region of the Valhalla Canyon, the explorers who ventured in were confounded by the sheer magnitude of the place. Scripture teaches us that uncharted territory may well confound our lives as well. Yet Scripture also tells us that God's presence is not exempt from anything, including the uncharted territory of our lives, the lives of others, and all creation, as in Scripture, for in Christ, all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. God's supreme grace assures us that Christ has walked this way before, and he did it for love's sake. Before we move into a time of communion, I would ask if we would move into this period of gathering our community in prayer. And I have some prayer requests for you to share. We are mindful, of course, for the people of Ukraine who continue to suffer losses from the encroachment of the enemy. And we are also mindful of those impacted by a suicide bombing in Pakistan. But we also have this prayer request from the Levitt family for strength and healing for several dear ones in their lives. There is Pete, a 53-year-old dad with two young teens and a lovely wife, facing results from a test tomorrow to determine how advanced his Parkinson's diagnosis is progressing. And we are also mindful of their friends, Michael, a 49-year-old husband and dad with young teen twins, also awaiting a Parkinson's prognosis. We remember Paul K. has Parkinson's and is navigating treatment. And for Todd, who just received a colon cancer diagnosis and is awaiting treatment options. And finally, David Levesque's beloved uncle and godfather, Donald, had 2 weeks of hospice care and died peacefully with his wife, Sherry, earlier this week. We celebrate his rich and long life on Monday on a Zoom memorial. Will you pray with me? Holy One, we come before you as a people who at times struggle to even find the means to pray, much less embark on a time of Lenten reflection and preparation. But often we fail to understand that the preparation that you ask of us is to be what you call us to be as your disciples. Holy One, as Jesus is the exemplar and author of our faith, he is not unfamiliar with uncharted territory. He has walked this way before. And he loved us enough to pay the price to be a prophetic witness, to embody that kind of radical honesty that we all hunger for, but are afraid of too. We thank you that through Jesus, we know that it is possible even for us to journey across the wilderness of our lives. When we are alone, when the voices of grief and temptation and shattered dreams haunt us, when the avenger, like a roaring lion, seeks to overcome and consume us, we ask your mercy upon us, O God. Forgive us for the many times we have failed, you and others. Strengthen us in our hour of frailty. Give us courage when we would rather take the easy way out. And for those mourning the death of loved ones, for those who mourn the loss of their health, their youth, and vitality, we ask for your mercy, O God. For those in Ukraine and the other parts of the world upended by war, for those whose lives know no end of violence and treachery, we ask for your compassion. And for those in our church family who are suffering, we pray that they may know our love and concern for them. God of the ages, whose incarnate love walked the face of this earth, we lift all our prayers to you. Be with us now and always. And let us pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, parent of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With bread we need today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For your reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. For those who are worshiping with us virtually today, we trust that you have had the opportunity to share or to prepare the bread and the cup so that you may partake with us as part of this congregation. And for others, I trust that you have received communion kits. All right, does anyone need a communion kit at this time? Everyone? Okay, thank you. So we begin with Christ's invitation. This young lady over here needs a communion kit, right over here. Right over here. Okay. Thank you. Jesus says to us, come, all of you, to the sacred table. Not because you must, but because you may. Come to this table then, sisters and brothers, as you are, just as you are. Partake and share. It is spread for you and me so that we might know that the God who has come to us to share our common lot, and it invited the people of God's new age. We remember on the night of Jesus' betrayal and desertion, he gathered with his disciples in an upper room to observe the Passover meal. And following the meal, Jesus took bread. And giving thanks, he raised it before them and saying, "This is my body, broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, you do so in remembrance of me." And then Jesus took the cup. And raising it before him, he gave thanks, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink this cup, you do so in remembrance of me." And let us take part in the prayer of consecration together. Gracious God, bless this bread and cup and all of us with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, the church, your servant people, that we may be salt and light and level for the furtherance of your will in the world. Amen. Let us, in the many places that we receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven,
we are one in Christ,
the bread we share. Let us, in the many gifts, the many places that we receive the gift of God, receive the cup of blessing.
We are one in Christ.
In the cup we share. Will you pray with me? Through this communion, O God, we have taken you into ourselves. Your love and compassion, your gentleness and justice. In our gratitude, we pray that we might now broaden and expand your table to share your love. Thank you for your grace, which allows us to take up the journey of sharing bread wherever we may be on the road. Let us forever know your presence in front of us, beside us, and within us, as we seek to be faithful. Amen.
Thank you.
We will let that pass. And now, my friends, may the grace of God be with you in the familiar, but even those uncharted territories of your lives. For Jesus has walked this way before. And may the blessing of God, Creator Christ and Holy Spirit, be with you now and always. Amen. And go in peace.